Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of John, Gospel according to John, chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'd like to deal with verses 32 to 36. And just, I got here a little early this morning and began to go over my notes, and I was struck with the sobering significance of this passage of Scripture. This particular passage that we're going to deal with today are the last words of our Lord as He openly preached to the unbelieving Jews before His crucifixion. After where we end today in verse 36, we're going to find the Lord fellowshipping with His disciples in preparation for His crucifixion. And so, knowing that a new era, if I can say it like that, before His suffering, I pray that we might truly hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us today in this passage of Scripture. Remember, these are the last words that our Lord openly said before His crucifixion. The Lord had been troubled. The Scripture says in verse 27 of John 12, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." All that the Father had ever purposed to do in the salvation of His elect centered in that act of obedience, His crucifixion, the cross, His dying. Now hear these words. Oh, I pray the Lord teach me. I need to hear. I need to hear. Here's our Lord, and He's speaking. And there's a group. There's a group of unbelieving Jews that's standing around Him. And this is what He says. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And this He said, signifying what death He should die. This was the death, according to the Scriptures, how He died, according to the Scriptures. John 3:14, the Lord says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so," in that manner, what was being taught, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You remember when Moses lifted up that brazen serpent, fiery serpents and snakes were biting the people. They were biting them and they were dying. And those fiery serpents, those snakes, that's a picture of sin that was biting. That's a type. It was a picture of what is killing men, what kills men, sin. And the Scripture says that the Lord told Moses, "I want you to take a piece of brass and I want you to make it in the shape of a snake," like picture of what is biting the people. "You lift it up on a pole, and whosoever looks, you're going to live." That's a picture, it's a type of looking unto Christ by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon Him, because man believes. It was Moses, God's preacher, lifting up, here's Christ, looking to Him, "and be you saved. Even so must the Son of Man." So the Lord told this group of people, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all. Men is in italics. Actually, it says will draw all unto me. When men read that passage of Scripture and they say, well, now there it proves. There it proves that all men are going to be drawn to Christ. Well, does the Lord draw everyone to Himself? So obviously there's something here that we don't perceive if we see it in that light. Who is He going to draw? Well, you know. He's going to draw all of His people. All that the Father giveth me. As I've told you before, anytime someone tries to question you, and if someone asks me something and they're truly, I truly perceive that they're wanting to know, I'm going to try to look it up. I'm going to try to find out what does it mean. Try to give them some help. But if it's somebody and they're in an arrogant way, they're just going to, you know, a lot of time I'll get emails, you know. And if it's an email and it's I just don't even answer it. I'm not going to argue with you. But here's the thing. If there's a question, you're reading something, take that scripture, I said, and just hold it up. And if you can prove by another scripture that clearly sets forth something that absolutely contradicts what you think that scripture believe, obviously we just didn't understand that scripture. When it says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me, well then the question would be this. Did the Lord draw, and is He drawing, is everyone being saved? No. Well, who is the all? Well, it's the all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that have been elected in Christ shall come. But according to the Lord's truth set forth, He's going to save His people. I will draw all men unto me. That truth set forth that God's going to save His people is set forth over and over and over. All given Him from before the foundation of the world. He's going to draw them. He's going to bring them to Himself. Someone would say, well, and then you're just saying that believers are robots. As I've said, believers come because they want to come. Well, why did they want to then when they didn't want to before? Well, because they were made willing in the day of God's power. He gave them a new heart. He gave them a new will. He gave them a new mind for Christ. He's imparted life that was not there before. They want to come, a believer. You that believe, do you want to hear? Do you want to call? Do you want to love Him? Do you desire to hear His gospel? Sure you do. You're not doing this against something that is just not there. It's, you want to. He gave you a heart. I know this. No man can come to me, the Lord said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. But if the Lord gives a heart, He comes. Drawn irresistibly. That power of God overcoming enmity. See, I'm going to remove from its power of reigning that heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a new heart. Flesh. Heart pliable. Creates that willing heart. And He draws. And they come. They come because they love Him. They desire Him. The Lord said in John 15:5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same. The branches. He said, I'm the trunk, I'm the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me, the same, bringeth forth much fruit. They bear it, is what it means. They carry it. They don't produce it. Where does the fruit come from? It's the fruit of God's Spirit. Love. Gentleness. Love for Him, love for others. They bear it. He said, for without me you can do nothing. You can't do anything. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people, in verse 34, answered him, and this is what they said, in response to what he said. Now we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, the Lord had declared Himself being the Christ. I am He. What I speak what my Father says. He sent me. And they said, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. They said, now you're talking about being lifted up from the earth. About what kind of death you're going to die. Now, we have an understanding. We've heard out of the law that when the Messiah comes, when the Christ comes, He abideth ever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man, that you must be lifted up? And then that last part right there is a statement of ridicule. It's as if they were saying, like looking around at each other. Here's the Lord speaking. They're saying, who is this Son of Man? Our understanding is that when the Christ comes, He's going to have a non-ending, an eternal reign. He's going to come back. Remember now, they were still looking for a Messiah that's going to deliver them out from under the bondage of Rome. And is going to raise back the kingdom, Israel, the prominence that they had back years before the Lord destroyed that temple. Listen to this. This is what they read. This is what we've read out of the law that Christ abideth ever. I'm sure they probably read this, Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. And upon His kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And they're saying, now wait a minute. How can you say that you must be lifted up? How can you say that you're going to have to die when what we've read out of the Scriptures is that whenever Christ comes, there's not going to be an end to His reign. Your message is not lining up with the Scriptures. That's what they're saying. Micah 4:7, and I will make her that holdeth a remnant, and her that was cast off a nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. They're saying, now we're the Messiah we're looking for is going to come here, and the reign that He's going to set up is going to be an eternal reign. Going to sit on the throne of David. We're His people. And we're going to have an everlasting kingdom. But they blindly missed the spirituality, the significance of His death and what His kingdom. They saw this as the national Israel set up and had a king, the Messiah from God, going to sit and stay right there, and it would never end. Eternal reign. And the cross was to them a conflict. You know, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of God's redemption of His people is to them that perish foolishness. They said, what man does today is exactly what they did then. What they're saying is that they hear the gospel of particular redemption. The Lord laid down His life for sheep. They read that. They can take it and read that in John 10:15. I lay down my life for sheep. And they say, wait a minute. Well, we've read the Scriptures. And our understanding is this. And what they're really doing is they're rebuking the Lord. Now they're really rebuking God's preachers. No, they're rebuking the Lord. They're refuting what God has to say, and that's exactly what they're doing right here. This we've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? You're saying that you've got to die. Now that the Messiah we're looking for is not going to die. He's not going to die. He's going to come here, He's going to reign here, and we're going to stay. And then our Lord did something. He left them with some truth concerning following after Him. You know what will set a man free? The truth. The truth. The truth. Men want to argue about their interpretation of this. What was God saying? Listen in the wisdom of our Lord what He left them with. They just rebuked Him. And here's what He says in verses 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide Himself from them. He concealed Himself. He left them with this truth. He proclaimed Himself to be the light of the world, the light of life, the light of God in John 8:12. And that whosoever followed after Him would not walk in darkness. He said in John 9:5, as long as He was in the world, He was the light of the world. And in their rebuke, He left them with that word, yet a little while. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Walk in the light. Follow after Him. Seek after Him. He soon was going to be taken out physically. If Almighty God hides Himself from a man or a woman, they have no hope. They have no hope. Believe the light. Now listen, this is the soberness of what I was talking about just a little while ago. Yet a little while. I was watching this morning some guy over in some movie star or something, I don't know, over in California yesterday was riding in a car. I was listening to the report this morning. Car hit a tree, burst into flames. Two people gone. They're just 40 years old. Gone. Somebody was talking this morning. They made a little note or something, a tweet. I don't really know what a tweet is, but maybe it's a message. So, and he said, there's a new angel in heaven. And I thought to myself, how do you know that? Really? I'm not trying to judge a man's heart. I don't even know the guy. But my guess is to the contrary. My guess would be, I don't know, but I do know this. If that man that was talking about, if he didn't know God in truth, he's not in heaven, I can tell you that. Yet a little while. Listen, I don't know what a day's going to bring. And I'm not here to be anything other than honest. Yet a little while. I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold for me. If there is a tomorrow for me, I don't know. Yet a little while is the light with you. If you're hearing my voice this morning and you just took a breath, I can tell you according to the Word of God, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. I know this. God's going to have to give a man a heart. But if he's purposed to save him, he's going to call. But if a man doesn't call, it's his fault. His fault. Jeremiah 13:15, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before He calls darkness and before your feet stumble under the dark mountains. And while you look for light, He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. The Scripture says after the Lord spoke those words, they ridiculed Him, despised Him, doubted His Word, questioned Him, whatever. And the Scripture says, He departed and did hide Himself. Whether He, by miracle, disappeared, I think probably what He did, He walked away. And they couldn't find Him. He was gone. The most sobering thought a man, a woman, that now cannot see. Cannot hear. I'm talking about just physically. Almighty God is going to save His people. But I'm telling you, for all that refuse, just refuse. Just refuse. They will not be found guiltless. It's a dangerous thing. It's the most needful thing. It is absolutely needful to sit under the sound of the gospel. I think that first message, I will prove that by Scripture. Hearing the gospel, you must hear. But let me tell you, the most damning thing to do is to hear the gospel and refuse. Refuse it. The greatest punishment, the greatest punishment. Remember when the Lord said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for Chorazin and Bethsaida? Why? Because the miracles that were done in those places, they saw, they heard. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't. And He said it's going to be more tolerable for them. Based upon that Scripture, I truly believe that remembrance is going to be a great part of the suffering in hell. Remembering. Leaving this world. And I heard a preacher preach the gospel. And I would not come. I would not. And the Lord departed and did hide Himself. I know this. Nobody's ever scared into heaven. I know that. But I'm telling you, the sobering truthfulness of God's Word is that sobering. Lord, bless, I pray. And I mean this in prayer. I mean this. Lord, save your people. Lord, call out of darkness those that you've everlastingly loved. Lord, bless your word. Lord, birth openly into this open kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and eternally been done in heaven. May the Lord bless these words to the comfort of His people, salvation of His elect, for Christ's sake.